Together, we can change the world for people with MS. Join us. Register today, start a team, and raise funds at walkms.org.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
All right, it must be Monday at 5 o'clock in Cleveland because we're here, the issues, the people in the community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. I'm the senior pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church located at 11318 Miles Avenue right here in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. Glad to have you join us today. God bless you for being with us. I also have the privilege to be the executive director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, which is an amalgamation of all of the African-American clergy organizations in the greater Cleveland area. And we are so proud and glad for you all to join us. And let me give a great shout out to all of our organizations, our presidents, our leaders, our pastors, Bishop Macon of the United Pastors and Missions, and Dr. Anthony Smalls, the president of the East Cleveland Concerned Pastors, President and Dr. Reverend Lorenzo Norris, Pastor of the Cleveland Clergy Alliance, and Pastor Christopher Washburn, Pastor of the Pilgrim Night Conference, which will be meeting tonight. And so we're just grateful, and to all of the pastors in the Northeast Baptist Association of Pastors, led by Reverend Dr. Johnny Twyman. We appreciate you all and all of the groups here and the Methodist organizations that's ran by Reverend Bass, and all the great clergy across this great city of ours, of Cleveland. We appreciate how important the church and clergy are, especially in these particular times. Don't have my co-host this evening. She's not feeling so well, but so keep Dr. Gwendolyn Jarvis in your prayers. We will be missing her today. And you can give a call in. I hope you're listening, Doc. We appreciate you so much being a part of what we're doing here at the Cleveland Clergy Coalition and our radio, our weekly radio broadcast. Well, we're here every Monday to bring you information as well as inspiration for your edification. And we're here to make sure that we do that every week from 5 to 6:30. We have a full show again for you today. We've got a transition of leadership. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Transition of leadership is our theme today. We know, we finally know, as of last Thursday, that our current mayor, Mr. Frank G. Jackson, will not be seeking re-election. So that's an open seat now. No, will be no incumbents, an open seat. And there are several people in that race. And our dear friend and brother, who's a very good friend of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition, Council President Mr. Kevin Kelly, is going to join us today be our first guest from 5:15. To 5:45, you want to give you want to have questions for this particular candidate, you ought to call us 216-578-1490, 216-578-1490, and you'll hear from our current council president and mayoral candidate, my dear friend and brother, Mr. Kevin Kelly. All right, and so he's going to be joining us. We have many of the folks who have announced this particular week in the heels of Mayor Frank Jackson not running. We now know not only Council President Kelly is in this race, but Councilman Bashir Jones announced on Thursday evening. On Monday, Sandra Williams announced that she's running for this seat. So there are several people we know. Zach Reed is running for the mayor of Cleveland. And those are all the folks that we know of for sure. And there is always in the wind that Dennis Kucinich, although he has not filed, he is running. So this is transition of leadership. We've got a lot of folks in this field running for mayor, and we want to hear from all of our candidates and see what they all have to offer so we can make an intelligent, informed decision about what it is, we need to do, who our next mayor should be, and leading our city in this next four or five years as we get ready to rebuild. I think that's the theme for us in Cleveland. We need to rebuild our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods, especially on the east side, need to be developed and built, and we thank God for that's what we're going to be talking about. We need to address the crime issue and jobs issues that need to be addressed. We really need to have somebody that's going to speak to our issues and not just a personality person. So now we're going to be listening to Mr. Kevin Kelly today, 515, 216-578-1490. And after that, we're going to have our dear brother, Pastor C. Vincent Berry, senior pastor of the Christian Fellowship Baptist Church and lead coordinator for the Cleveland Clergy Coalition regarding vaccination. He's going to talk to us about vaccination, vaccination today, vaccination tomorrow, vaccination forever. We want to make sure that we are getting vaccinated. We had a march for vaccination. We still have people at churches that are being used as sites for vaccination. You can get a ride to get vaccinated by calling the coalition. Number will give you that information today as well. And you can go in there now. The Woolstein Center is taking walk-ins. We thought they always should have taken walk-ins, but they're definitely taking walk-ins now. There's no pre-registration qualifier. You just got to show up and get vaccinated. That's something the clergy has, one of the things the clergy also wanted to have done, and now we're seeing that implemented done, so we don't have the barrier of having to have access to the internet to be able to get vaccinated. You can just go to the Woolstein Center right now and be vaccinated. Vaccination, vaccination, vaccination. So we're going to be talking about that at 5:45. And then at 6 o'clock, top of the hour, we're going to be having councilmen of the highest voting ward in the city of Cleveland, Ward 1, Councilman Joe Jones. He's going to roll out a financial program that is for all Clevelanders and all folks, really all across the county. You don't even have to be a resident of the city of Cleveland. To if you're a business owner and you need some resources because of the pandemic, you've been hurt, there is some money available, grant money that you don't have to pay back, and then up to $200,000. But he's going to be able to answer those questions for you. He's going to join us at Hot Sauce at the 6 o'clock hour, Councilman Joe Jones. So we've got a full schedule of what's happening in the city of Cleveland today. You tune into this broadcast every week so you can get good information about what is going on in Black Cleveland, where it is happening, what are the issues that mostly concern us that we can address and we can help solve. We're not here to just talk about issues, but we're here to solve them as well. And so give us a call today, 216-578-1490, as we get ready for a fulfilled show this evening. Well, as we get ready for this transition, I just want to remind folks to make sure you are registered to vote. We have two elections going on. We have the election for Congress, U.S. Congress, a replacement of our dearly beloved leader, who's now the Secretary of Housing, Marcia Fudge. She has moved up to help not only the 11th Congressional District, but an entire nation. So thank God for her and her leadership. And now her seat has been vacated. And that election for that primary is going to be August the 3rd. You want to write that down, August the 3rd. August the 3rd is the election for the special election for United States Congress to replace former Congresswoman, now Secretary of HUD, Marcia Fudge. And you know, everyone knows that Pastor Phillips is supporting Chantel Brown. And we love Chantel Brown. She's fantastic. She's from the church community, and she's the only elected official that's in this race. She's been a council. She's got great experience. She's been a councilwoman in Warrensville, now in the county council person, and she's the first African-American and first woman to lead the Cuyahoga County Democratic Party, which is the second largest party in the state. So we thank the Lord for her leadership and We're believing God to put her in Congress and represent us for the next 50 years. So that election is this coming August the 3rd. That means early voting, y'all, starts on July the 7th. You can actually request your early ballot right now. You can do that right now and get ready to vote. So if you was just thinking about that, to get ready to vote, you can make your request and your ballot will come just in a nick of time. And you got to make sure that you're registered to vote. Well, we hope everyone listening to our broadcast is registered, but if you're not, give us a call. We will help you get to the Board of Election, fill out your registration. If you have a change of address, make sure you fill that out. But we want to make sure that we are all registered to vote this August the 3rd. So you get out your registration, get it out now, and make sure you are registered. If you're not registered, if you voted last year, last November, in this last presidential election, you are good to go. You don't have to register. So that's one way you could know. You may be thinking in your mind, am I registered? Am I not registered? Just ask yourself, did you vote for the president this past November? Did you cast your vote in the presidential campaign? If you did, you are good to go in voting. Many folks, especially in the side of Cleveland, did not come out to vote on in that election. So you want to make sure you check your registration, and you can call the coalition. We'll check it for you right online, 216-333-1827, because that's just what we do. So we've got to get ready for voting and making sure that we're out here. August the 3rd is the primary election for the special election, and then we'll tell you when council president comes on. He'll give us the date for the primary for in September. So we're going to have an election in August and then again turn around right in September and have our mayoral primary election. So there's a lot going on in Cleveland. Going to be a very, very busy summer. Very, very busy summer for all of us, and especially for Pastor Aaron Phillips of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. We're still taking people to work, by the way. We have jobs. We just met with some folks. We got some even greater jobs. If you want to be a flag person during the summer, you want to hold that pole, tell people to go and tell people to stop. They're paying like $17 an hour for that. You want to get in on that, you give us a call from the coalition. We also have some manufacturing jobs available for everyone. Excuse me. And then at the same time, we always are taking people to work. We are providing transportation for you. So you are in the city of Cleveland and you need a job and you need transportation to get to that job. We will not only recruit you, get you through the process, and we will also get you to work. Here's some good news, too. You don't have to worry about your criminal background. So you can tell your young people, folks who are looking for jobs, maybe you got a son, a daughter, or a nephew, or a niece, or someone in the church that you know needs a job. You can tell them if they have a felony, that will not keep them from getting this job. And here's some even better news. I'm gonna give you that after the break. We got even better news about that. But you can apply. 216-333-1827 is for the jobs piece. Come on back. We're gonna have Council President Mr. Kevin Kelly, who's our mayoral candidate. He's gonna come on. First mayoral candidate coming on. After Frank Jackson announced that he's not running for re-election, give us a call, 216-578-1490. We're waging war. We'll hear from us after this break.
For more information and the latest updates on the coronavirus, text the word VIRUS to 60796 any time of day. Text messages and data rates may apply.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. Ashiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org/shiro.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Tea and Honey with Dr. Gwen Jarvis. I was born, raised, and educated locally. Weekly to bring tea leaves of my own experience, talents, and training as bold and boundless as a butterfly to enlighten, inspire, and uplift our community and beyond. With stems on education, health, community, civic, spiritual, and the joys of life. Thursdays, 5 p.m., WERE, 1490 a.m. Join me for tea.
This is the sound of giraffes being placed on the endangered species list for the very first time. This is the sound of wild populations plummeting by nearly 40% over the last 30 years. This is the sound of a silent extinction. Help giraffes break the silence by joining San Diego Zoo Global Wildlife Conservancy at endextinction.org and be heard for the herd.
I've been a disruptor all my life, and I started this podcast to challenge conventional thinking and stereotypes around the Black community and Black men. Not all Black men are rappers, not all Black men are athletes, and most Black men are not thugs. If you believe we can change the narrative, if you believe we can change our communities, if you believe we can change the outcomes, then we can change the world. I'm Rob Richardson. Welcome to Disruption Now.
You can find Disruption Now anywhere you listen to podcasts or by going to disruptionnow.com.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
Are we back? Okay, Leah. Okay, we're back to Issues of People in the Community. I'm still your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips, Senior Pastor of the Sure House Baptist Church, located at 1318 Miles Avenue, every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. We had a great worship service yesterday on Mother's Day. I also have the unique privilege to be the Executive Director of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. And as promised, we have my dear friend and brother from another mother. I say that with very sincerity, is my dear friend, current council president and mayoral candidate, Mr. Kevin Kelly. Are you there, sir?
Pastor Phillips, I'm here. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. I think everybody in the city of Cleveland knows how much I love you and appreciate you. You have always been there for the coalition. Yeah, and let me just remind some folks as we talk about what you have done as council president and for us, and we've been in battle together. The two I'm just thinking about is the Q, making sure we save the Q deal and that people can have work here in the city of Cleveland. All those people who are working, who live throughout the city of Cleveland, we provided jobs and construction jobs for those folks and rebuilding of the Q Arena that's now called the Field House. And we fought that battle, and we got that done. And, well, the most recent onslaught when someone thought it was a big good idea to shrink council and cut their pay, and that would have been devastating in our community. And especially what a really bad idea that came to pass. And would have worked, especially the way we voted, but because of your leadership, and we were able to get that off the ballot, and we appreciate that. So, and that's just two of the big things, but you've been working on behalf of our city. I was just thinking about the renter's rights and people to make sure if you're going to be evicted, that you will provide a lawyer for them. You're rolling that program out, and we really appreciate that. So you're doing not only things that you have done, but things that you continue to do to serve our community And we, you are our first mayoral candidate to come on since the announcement of our current mayor, Mr. Frank G. Jackson, will not be running. So kind of tell us where your candidacy is and your thoughts and plans for the city of Cleveland, your vision.
Sure. Well, first of all, Pastor, let me thank you for that nice lead-in and let you know, all the great things we've done. Haven't done it on my own, done it with you, done it with Cleveland Clergy Coalition. You know, in addition to the eviction protection that we're putting together, the, you know, the Lead Safe Coalition, First Year Cleveland to combat infant mortality, our declaration of race in the public health crisis. You know, we've been on these things from the beginning. You mentioned a Q deal. Remember, it was also done with through Norm Edwards advocacy, you know, 40% black contractors on the job. And it was just really been something great. And I thought that that deal led to the renovation of every single rec center basketball floor and every CMSD high school basketball floor. So it's been great working with you. We fought a lot of battles. And again, I'm proud of my role, but I didn't do anything alone. And you've been with me every step of the way, along with the other members of the Cleveland Clergy Coalition. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate the work that you do. And I don't know if enough people know about the job training program that you have and what you do to take young men and put them into family-sustaining careers. And that's got to be all of our goal. So with that, Pastor, I am running for mayor. And I'm running for mayor because, you know, I love this city. I believe in this city. And I believe in our future. We're not where we need to be just yet. And I'm looking to get to not where we were pre-COVID. I want to get to the Cleveland that we can be if we all work together.
Yes.
I want to come to build a community working with you and working with everyone where there, you know, there is no digital divide, for example. We've been talking about this for years, you know, that this term digital divide, it became just kind of a something that we almost became comfortable with. But to me,
right.
We got to start with this notion of what is digital divide. Well, if you're not in the civic space, it's basically, you know, we can describe it as there's some kids and there's some people that don't have access to devices and a broadband internet signal. But an easier way to think of this is those kids that have technology and have devices and have access, they have an opportunity to move forward. Those kids that do not, they will most surely be left behind. And I believe that almost all of us know of a family whose child got sent home from school when COVID hit that did not have the tools that he or she needed to learn. I believe all of us know of a worker who was sent home that didn't have the ability, the tools to work home. So is that fair? I mean, can we live in this community like that? You know, I don't think so. I think we need to clear the deck, work together, and solve this problem.
Similarly,
you know, Pastor, how long have we been talking about just think of the work that you're doing with Cleveland Clergy Coalition and how you work to get young men through apprenticeship programs, get them on the lineman program so that they can support their families. We need to ask a question. All of us need to ask ourselves a question. How can we live in a community where there are thousands of high-paying, family-sustaining jobs that are open? Yet, we have unemployed and underemployed people in the same community. Think of the people that we know that are struggling. Think of, I mean, we all know people are struggling.
Yes.
Don't we think they would like to be making $75,000 a year? Don't we think they would like to be doing that? So why can we, I mean, imagine, this is the way I look at this, Pastor. Imagine if you're hurting and you're down on your luck and you're unemployed and you're every day on your walk home from wherever you go, you have to walk past several help wanted signs, but you know you're never going to get those jobs. We just can't accept that anymore. It's just, it's not okay that we've got this gap between people that want to work and the jobs that need people. And the only difference is getting people the skills and the training to take those jobs. We've got to do that.
Right.
Got to. Yep. Another major initiative, Pastor, that I'm planning to work on is we can't have the disparities between zip code that we have right now. We cannot have where you live determining your life expectancy. And what I intend to do with every neighborhood is what I've done in Old Brooklyn, which is to start with a community health assessment. And when we do that, we need to assess health, not from a perspective of when did you see the doctor last or who's your health care insurance provider. Those aren't the right questions to ask. We start asking questions. Do you live near fresh food? Is there a park near your home? Do you feel safe in your home? Are you within a 10-minute walk of a park or some green space? Do you know your neighbors? These are the things that really determine the health of a community, not just those things like who's your doctor, who's your, do you have health insurance? That's not it. Those are the wrong questions to ask. So, you know, Pastor, I look forward to working with you to really moving beyond some of these inequities that all have poverty, all have race at their core. And, we all need to acknowledge that and identify the problem, acknowledge it, and come up with a solution that the whole community can rally around.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very refreshing to hear a Caucasian Irish brother talk about race equity in 2021. And I'll tell you, I really appreciate that. I know our community appreciates that because many times we have to explain to people what systematic racism is and explain why these things are the way they are. But for you to already have a working understanding and knowledge of that just speaks volumes of who you are and why you're running for the mayor of the city of Cleveland. Now, let me ask you this. One of the big, and I don't know if you have time to fully answer this because we're coming up on our break, but I want you to take your time with this. We are very concerned about the violence that's happening in our community. Just the other day, the church is in Ward 2. There's a gas station right up the street, 116th, and we had a young man who was shot in broad daylight, and he was not a part of a gang. He was actually, it was his misidentity, but even that they shot the wrong fellow, murdered him, and his mother is the hard worker in the community, works for the Cleveland Foundation. She's been helping kids for the last 20 years, and they shot him. Then they found out they shot the wrong fella. They went and found the right person, shot him and his girlfriend, and killed them too. So what can you address? What can we do, if anything, and what can be done and about the violence that's happening in our community?
Yeah, sure. So, Pastor, let me start with a very basic premise and how do we begin solving this problem. First thing you do is imagine that you're that mother. First thing you do is you put yourself in the position of somebody who's lost someone. Now, it's horrific enough to lose someone to violence, but then imagine if the police didn't show up right away. Imagine if there weren't enough detectives to solve to investigate and to really kind of get to the bottom of the issue. Imagine if you were victimized once by losing somebody, then you're victimized again by the ability that we're not able to solve that crime. I think we need to really take a look at the very basics. We need to start by, as simple as it sounds, we need to staff the police to the level the council budgeted them for. We should not have any vacancies in the sex offender unit, the domestic violence unit, the police assault unit, because what I've been told since I've been in this business is that a small number of people are committing a disproportionate number of crimes, and we know who they are. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's do something about it. If we've got the data, if we know, who is committing these crimes, then we need to deal with that. And, it starts with the specialty units, but it goes as far as the zone cars.
There's a music. We got to take a break and pay these bills.
Okay, let me come back to that point. Yeah.
Yep. Please do. We do. You're here. We're listening to Council President, Mayoral Candidate, Mr. Kevin Kelly. We're going to be right back after this break. Give us a call. If you got a question, we'll take it today. 216-578-1490. You'll hear from us right after this break. Right.
drive fly. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Forget them other dealers. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. North Coast Auto Mall. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Hey. North Coast Auto Mall. They gon' have you riding round. Something new. 99 cents down.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Mm. Hard to believe it though. But trust me, people, they have tons of vehicles. North Coast Auto Mall. 3 locations. And they work with any credit situation.
Any credit situation.
So don't worry about your credit.
About your credit.
At North Coast Auto Mall, you can get it. You need a new whip. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. You wanna ride fly. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Forget them other dealers. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. North Coast Auto Mall. 1-800-NEXT-CAR. Visit North Coast Auto Mall and get a new car for as little as 99 cents down. At any of our 3 locations. Broadway and Rockside on the Bedford Auto Mile. Britton Road across from Chapel Hill Mall in Akron. And Pearl and Brook Park in Parma.
99 cents down. For example, amount finance equals 9,000. APR rate 24.9. 48 monthly payments of $297.91 upon approved credit.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
It's Sybil Wilkes with What You Need to Know. A gunman opened fire at a family birthday party in Colorado Springs, leaving 6 people dead and a community in mourning. The suspected shooter, believed to be a boyfriend of one of the victims, is also dead. This tragedy was one of at least 9 mass shootings that occurred across the U.S. over the weekend. At least 15 people were killed and 30 more injured in mass shootings since Friday night. That according to data from gun violence archives, local media, and police reports. Dr. Anthony Fauci says federal guidance on wearing face coverings indoors may soon change. The CDC relaxed its guidance last month on wearing masks outdoors, but still advised both vaccinated and unvaccinated people to wear masks indoor public spaces, such as a mall, a movie theater, or a museum. Dr. Fauci adds that people may decide to wear face masks during certain seasons after the coronavirus pandemic has ended to help avoid spreading or contracting respiratory illnesses like the flu. I'm Sybil Wilkes. Be informed, be empowered.
1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights. WZAK HD3, Cleveland. An Urban One radio station, minority controlled and operated, and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
Okay, we're waging war. We have the council president and mayoral candidate, my friend, Mr. Kevin Kelly. Just get picked right up about the violence, addressing the violence, council president.
Yes, please, please. So where I left off was, you know, a lot of times we talk about the units and with the specialty units, domestic violence, sex crimes, homicide, all the openings in the detective detective slots. But we also have to remember that that affects the zone car operation as well, because we have our police officers that are responding to 20 to 30 calls per service per shift, yet we expect them to be on the top of their game for each one of those. And they're human beings, and are we doing enough to support right. to support them? So I think most important, though, there's two broad themes in terms of how we're really going to attack this violence. First thing we need to do is to come up with a police strategy that is neighborhood specific. Come up with a police strategy that involves more visibility, you know, more foot patrols, more bike patrols, more neighborhood engagement. And then the flip side of that is to recognize that even though it's been said almost too many times where we need to not lose its significance, we can't police our way out of this. We have to understand right. that people find their way to the wrong path through many, many routes there. And I believe right. people are savable, but I believe it's something that we as a community have to come together and take that very seriously. Take that, you know, realize that people can come back, that kids' brains aren't fully functioned when they make bad decisions. And how do we get people back on the right path? I believe that, we can't talk about how do we help people get back on the right path if we don't talk about education, jobs, and basically giving people hope that, you don't have to engage in a life of crime. There is a high-paying job waiting for you if you do these things, if you get involved in this apprenticeship program, if you, if you complete school. Right. There is opportunity, but I fear that people have lost hope. I fear that people, my belief is that people commit crimes, people do things when they've lost hope, when they don't see another better route for them. And I think we need to provide a better way for people and a path to the better way. So I think I really intend to, make sure that the police get the support that they want. They need to, conduct themselves within the confines of the Fourth Amendment and the consent decree, and police constitutionally, but we need to make sure the police are policing.
Absolutely.
So it's a couple of issues.
Absolutely. Right. We got a couple of callers. We're going to try to get them in. Caller, I'm not sure which one I got first, but Leo, give us the first caller. Sorry, I didn't get your name. Caller, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yeah, we're good.
Yes, you're on the air.
The people, Pastor Phillips, I have a question for your guest, Council President Kelly. Council President Kelly, I have two questions and a comment. If you can answer all three or just one of them due to time, and I'll hang up for your answer. Number one, I wanted to know, what would you do your first day in office to make the residents feel comfortable about coming or calling City Hall? My first question. My second question, with City Hall being downtown as a big building, we really don't have anything that says City Hall on it or any signs up front to make it welcoming. And my comment is, I had a very bad experience, bad taste in my mouth the last time I was at City Hall. And I wanted to know, the first time with a guest, never been to City Hall, how would you address that?
Thank you very much. That is a critical issue. So let me try to address in order of what I heard you say. City Hall is the people's house. It is a gorgeous, magnificent building that everybody should visit. And when they do so, they should leave with a good experience. On day one, I'm going to begin by evaluating all of our public-facing services. Now, all too often, the first look people have at City Hall is if they're applying for a permit or they're getting a birth certificate or using one of those public-facing services. But, sometimes people are treated like a bureaucratic nuisance instead of a partner or an investor in our city. I think that anybody who is at City Hall is there for a reason, and that's because, A, they either need a service that they're entitled to, or they are looking to take a step to improve something. So if you're seeking a license, if you're seeking a permit application, if you're dealing with that, you are investing in our city, and you need to be treated as such. If you're there for a birth certificate, you're entitled to that, and people should treat you with courtesy because you're there. Nobody's there necessarily because they want to. These are important issues. I think having City Hall be a welcoming, friendly environment is priority. I have an idea that's similar to, if you've ever been to the Cleveland Clinic, they have guests like come up and ask you right away, hi, what are you here for? Can you help finding where you're going? We have to treat our citizens like partners, like they are the city. Because you know what? 601 Lakeside City Hall, that's not the city of Cleveland. City of Cleveland is the people. And the City Hall's got to be a reflection thereof. So I intend to make customer service changes day one. I intend to prioritize that. And my goal is that when I'm mayor, nobody will ever report what the colleges reported of being in there and just having a very bad experience. That will not happen.
Well said. Thank you for that. Thank you for that question. As Lady Red, I didn't I recognize her voice. Thank you for your call and listening, Lady Raider, all of your
yes,
support.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, we take another caller. We got two more. We're taking calls today for Council President, Mayoral Candidate, Kevin Kelly. Caller, you there?
Hey, Reverend Aaron Phillips.
A rare on-air compliment
for me. That was a solid, solid civics-minded broadcast last week. And I think the murder that you're referencing is Rob Tony Jr. I think that's the murder that
you're referencing. That's it. Yeah, I didn't want to call his name, but you're absolutely right. That's it.
A complete non-troublemaker, just a solid,
yes,
everyday type dude. All right, so
yes, sir.
So candidate Kelly, Councilman Kelly.
Yes.
I like your academic resume and I like your work history. Here's my question. I looked at the vote turnout for 2017. It was 33,000 plus votes mm-hmm. out of 200,000, and there's 248,000 plus eligible now. We need the city needs to increase the civic engagement of the population. So, mm-hmm. would you be open to organizing clinics on the functions of government through the taxpayer-funded neighborhood public libraries and pushing the school board aggressively to put more civics education in the taxpayer-funded neighborhood public school system that is Cleveland for the purpose of getting the public more engaged in the functions of government so that ultimately they'll be better voters, but more importantly, there'll be large clusters of better citizens that understand things such as the minor functions of government and the benefit all the way up to the investing in the public works through the markets and the municipal bonds through the markets. Did you get all that?
Great question. Yeah, that's a great question.
So, if you, I assume since you've taken some time to educate yourself on the candidate, if you looked at my bio, when I was a kid, before my dad died, we got transferred around, and I spent a little bit of time inside Chicago, and the state of Illinois has it's a state requirement that there's a constitution test, a civics and constitution test that every child has to take. And I believe that is a good thing to have because, like you say, it engages people in their government. And I didn't, leave just with the federal government. You know, it talked about, you know, this is, you know, the model, but the state, you have this, the city government, you have this, you know, the same version of a legislative branch, an executive branch, and a judicial branch. So I think that civics education is something that we need to do to get people more engaged. In addition to people not voting as much as I would like them to, not enough people are choosing to run for office themselves and be candidates. And we need more people to choose to run themselves, to move forward. And more than that, it's hard when we have every council person, every elected person, we have town hall meetings and we do everything. It is really hard to get people engaged. And I think, as the caller said, we need to start in our schools, our libraries. We need to start at a younger level, getting people excited about government, getting young people to say, government is good. Politics is a noble profession, and I want to do that. Right now, we do not have that. If you look at the number of filings for council, county council, state rep, it's falling. And we just have to get people excited about government because this is good. If we can't leave government to, the few people that choose to run, we've got to get more civic engagement. So the answer, caller's questions, I would put whatever resources I could towards that goal.
Council President, can you stay for one more segment? We got one more caller.
Sure.
Can you stay?
Sure.
All right, caller, thank you, Todd, for that great question. That's very consistent. Todd has been asking that question for a long time, and that's I agree with him. We need civics training in our educational system. Thank you, Todd, for all your great questions all the
Thanks,
time.
God.
All right, we're going to come back. 216-578. We're going to take another caller. We're going to finish up with our Council President, Mayoral Candidate, Kevin Kelly. We'll hear from us right after this break.
Raging war, tired of the devil stealing from me. Raging war, I promise he won't get one more thing. Raging war, I'm taking it.
NewstalkCleveland.com.
This is Al Jones, boxing enthusiast. Tune in to In the Ring with Al Jones, Tuesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern on 1490 WERE. We will be bringing you the best in boxing with up-and-coming amateurs, hot prospects, current champions, and the legends of the game. Don't forget, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, In the Ring with Al Jones.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
1490 WERE Traffic.
Good evening. This traffic update sponsored by InvisibleFence.com. As we take our last look at the roads for your commute, if you're in Summit headed eastbound 7677 in Summit, a disabled vehicle is blocking the center lane after Central Interchange. Another disabled vehicle blocking the left lane after Main Street. In Akron, northbound 77, you'll find an accident blocking the left lane between Waterloo Road and Wilbeth Road. Invisible Fence brand is modernizing pet containment with the all-new Boundary Plus smart system. Visit InvisibleFence.com to schedule your free consultation. That's InvisibleFence.com. I'm Lorenzo Ware on Cleveland's News Talk 1490 WEREAM, the People Station.
Okay, we're back. Our council president is holding us holding over for this last segment. We got a caller. We want to go right to the caller because we're going to run out of time. Caller, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Okay. Councilman Kelvin Kelly. This is Brenda Bickerstaff. I want to
ask you. That's my buddy, Brenda Bickerstaff.
Hey, how are you? Good.
I'm doing fantastic, man.
Good. Okay, so Kevin Kelly, as you know, yes. I was down there about a year and a half ago with some other families about police reform at a council meeting, and you kind of didn't want to address that. So this is what I want to ask you. Do you believe in police reform, and do you believe in that money that we're spending for these police misconducts and these murders need to be channeled back into community for economical development and education?
Okay, so let me start. First of all, I can't remember which meeting you're referencing because you've come to so many. But always good to see you. I would say that we have to look at policing right now through the lens of, I think that the consent decree has put forth the good parameters to police within.
Okay, remember, let me interrupt. That's temporarily. That's not going to be here forever. Right. We're pushing to get legislation on the ballot for a permanent body, independent body.
So, sure. So what I was going to say is that we need to make, you know, reforms that are going to last. For example, one of the elements is crisis intervention training for every Cleveland police officer. And that's something that we have achieved. Now, we can't go back on that. We have to just continue on. All new cadets come in, making sure that everybody gets the training that they get in crisis intervention, the same training has to be part of the de-escalation training that the officers receive, and just like the cultural mindset that is part of the new training has to persist. And I would say that in terms of the payouts and that you reference, because of the reforms that have been made, and we're not there yet, by the way, but because of the reforms that are being made, we haven't had one of those in the past few years. The only ones that we've had to do with cases that took place a long time ago. There was a wrongful imprisonment, two wrongful imprisonments that the city paid out on. So there's definitely better uses for those
dollars.
You know
what? Excuse me, Councilman Kelly. I'm not trying to be funny. It was more than that. Remember, I'm a private investigator, and I've investigated these cases. It's been more than two. It's been more than two, so that's incorrect. That is very incorrect right there.
Okay. I just meant the high-dollar ones that you people may have read about.
Okay.
But
just because it wasn't in the paper doesn't mean it's not important.
Sure, but I do see the budget every year, and I do see the line item for judgments and settlements, and I do see where that has gone down significantly since the reforms have been enacted. And as we move forward, we need to make sure that those reforms stick. We need to make sure that they're part of the police culture, and that's got to be invested, okay, back into the neighborhood. So yes.
Well, and Brenda, let's ask that other question. Would you support an amendment or an initiative to have a permanent oversight board for the city of Cleveland regarding the police or police review board, once the consent decree is gone, something beyond what we have now in the police reform oversight?
Yes, so it depends. I'm aware of the initiative that's taking place. The only principle that's got to be is that the chief has to be the chief. Like the chief has to be the person that has like that authority. If there's a way to keep the reforms and keep certain oversight in place that allows the chief to retain that authority, then I could support it. But that's the crux of everything is learning about who has the actual authority on police matters.
Well, I think one of the things that we're talking about having a police review board to review matters when there's controversy. You know, this current chief has been fantastic about addressing controversial issues and even firing police officers, because the union puts them back in order, puts them back in place. But I think one of the things that we're concerned about in the community that's where there's a representative from the community saying, hey, police, another portion of accountability that police officers would have to the general community, but not taking any authority, police authority and responsibility from the chief of police. So I know that's something that we absolutely support, and I'm sure you would support that as well.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. All right, we got one more caller. Thank you. That's our dear sister, Brenda Bickerstaff. We're going to take one more final call. It's our last caller. Caller.
Hi, Council President.
Hello.
Council President, hi. This is Rhoda. I just have a couple questions. Based on your last...
Control?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Based
good.
On that last caller, Brenda Bickerstaff, would you plan to keep the chief, Calvin Williams?
You know, I'm not making any personnel decisions at this point. I don't know how much longer... I know Calvin Williams of retirement age. I have not had the conversation with him, and
okay.
I wouldn't want to have this conversation until I speak with Chief Williams first and
okay.
see what his plans are.
Same
that makes
with, sense.
You know, with schools, fire, you know, there's a whole bunch of things, but I don't want to be politicking on that just yet.
I get that. Now, my second question is, I work in the Glenville neighborhood. We have beautiful homes there that have been abandoned and neglected. I don't know how. I know you took a tour of each ward. You talked to residents and tried to get a feel for what their issues are. And it kind of it's not really a question. It's really just I want to say that I hope when you become mayor that you will put some emphasis on not building new homes, not getting developers coming into Glenville building new, but really putting some emphasis on rehabbing the beautiful homes that we already have.
Sure. So my strategy would be to do all of the above. because I believe that the first thing we need to do is we need to like assess what's available in Glenville. Now, we saw through the Glen Village project that the Glenville neighborhood has all those things that planners look for: traffic counts on the purchasing power of the neighborhood, and the Glen Village project on 105th Street is doing great. So there is opportunity in Glenville. There's also a lot of vacant abandoned homes, some of which need to come down. I believe we can take down the blighted properties that aren't savable, make that available for investment. I believe we can rehab some of those beautiful old homes that are underperforming right now. And we're really looking at doing some of that with these American Recovery funds to basically come up with that gap funding between what it costs for down payment, what the market will support, and whether a buyer needs down payment assistance or if it's an appraisal gap. I believe that we can provide that and really encourage the private sector to invest in Glenville, because Glenville has all of the fundamentals in place that are necessary for that neighborhood to just really take off. And I'm very committed to taking all the above strategy to make sure that that happens. But I agree with you that will there be restoration of beautiful homes? Will there be? But I'm not going to rule out new construction either. I think that we can do all of that, and that's going to just help everybody's property values.
All right, we got just a couple of minutes. Thank you, Council President. I want to talk about your experience. How long have you been a city council person?
Okay, so Pastor, I have been a council person 16 years now. I've been, my first 8 years, I was representing Ward 13, well, it was 16, so I was a ward council person for 8 years. And, you know, there's a point where I might have looked for something else, but then the council presidency, I saw a path there. So I chose to seek the council presidency. So I've been doing that for the past 8 years. And I'm a believer. I don't believe in term limits, but I do think that, 8 years is a good year, a good time period to do what you can. If you can't get done in 8 years, you should kind of move along and let somebody else try. That's why I figured 8 years is time for somebody else to be council president. So, if I'm elected mayor, I would intend to stay for 8 years. When I say longer, I don't rule anything out, but I just think that 8 year cycle is kind of what I'm comfortable with. And, when my 8 years is up, I'm a lawyer, I'm a social worker. There's other things I can do. This is what I want to do. This is what I think I'm called to do. And it's something I believe I'm going to do. So I'm just going to be mayor for 2 terms would be my hope.
Well, I hate to let you go, but you're going to have to come back again when we get a little closer to the election time. But thank you so much, Council President,
anytime,
Mayoral Candidate, my dear friend, Kevin Kelly. Thank you for being here with
Thanks.
Us. Maybe time for
thank you, Pat.
Kevin Kelly, Mayor, City of Cleveland. God bless you. We'll be right back for
thank
Hot Sauce
thank
after
you
this
so
break.
Much.
Take care.
Right,
thank
care.
You.
Bye. Enemies like never before. We're waging war.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled and operated, and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
Sometimes we forget that the funeral is for the living. It is the last visible viewing and celebration. But for those of us in the industry, it is a time for our experience and excellence to shine. At R.A. Prince Funeral Services, our expertise in different cultures, economics, and family blend makes us stand out in helping to meet the trust and faith you have placed in our hands. We know it is paramount for us to ease the burden and release the pressure of this time of need. Let R.A. Prince Funeral Services meet with you and take the worry out. Call us at 216-518-1777. That is 216-518-1777. R.A. Prince Funeral Services, for such a time as this.
News Talk 1490 WERE, Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3, Cleveland. This is a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management.
We're back to Issues of People in the Community. I'm your host, Pastor Aaron Phillips. We affectionately call this segment of our broadcast Hot Sauce because it's uninterrupted. We have no commercials. We're going to go straight 28 minutes to the countdown till we got to go. We're taking your calls, your questions, your comments about everything. And we're looking for Councilman Joe Jones to call us very shortly to tell us about a program that's happening in Ward 1, but for everyone. But right now, I'm joined by the Cleveland Clergy Coalition coordinator for the vaccination and the great senior pastor of the Great Church Christian Fellowship right here in the city of Cleveland, my dear friend and brother, Reverend Dr. C. Vincent Berry. Dr. Berry, are you there?
Good evening, Reverend Phillips. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, my dear friend and brother. Tell us about the vaccination, sir.
I am so thankful to you, Reverend Phillips, all that you do for our community and all that you do for our churches, and not only our churches, but for the community at large. And I come on again just to continue to beat the drums for our people to receive that vaccination from this horrible, deadly virus called COVID-19. It is such an important thing, and I desire not to allow any of us to forget and not to let this important issue be swept under the rug. How important it is, how vital it is for those of us, especially those of us who have commitment to get the vaccination. There are so many long-term effects that involve having coronavirus that I can't even get into all that transpires. There are so many people that say, well, if I get it, I'll just get sick and then I'll be okay. Well, you just don't know. There are so many interests. There's hundreds and hundreds of instances for people who have contracted the virus, and then months and months down the road, they're still having the effects of being contracting this deadly virus. And there's so many problems that can come from your breathing, from your heart problems, from through it around the lungs, so many different things that we've discovered, and many other things I'm sure we have not discovered yet that can be such a detrimental effect on Black people and on our health and our wellness. And you may not get very sick from it immediately, but there are so many things that can happen down the road. Why even take the chance? Why even put your body, your family, the ones that love you under that kind of pressure, to having to take care of you while you're sick and while you're going through these deadly things that happen to your body. I have a family that is dealing with this, from a young man who has COVID-19, had it back in June of last year. And now the family has to go to the ICU every day and has to be involved in hospital care right now because of what happened way back in June. So you just don't know. Wow. I have a person who is still having to carry around oxygen with them everywhere they go because they got COVID-19 back in August of last year. So it's not about, well, it ain't going to kill me. Well, it may not kill you, but just think of the long-term effects that may happen to your body when it's just as simple as just getting the vaccination. Get yourself covered. Allow the medical science and the medical teams to do what they know that will help us and enable us to protect ourselves, our family, our grandparents, not only that, our young children, from being exposed to this deadly virus. And that's why we're going to continue to shout it from the rooftops: get the vaccination, get the shot. And I'd rather do that than to suffer all of the consequences that could be involved in contracting coronavirus or COVID-19. And that's all I want to say, Bass Phillips, just trying to keep reminding people, encouraging people to get the shot.
Yes, yes.
And you will not.
Are you surprised that people still aren't getting the shot, Pastor?
I'm surprised,
that we
but
still
I'm also
have...
not surprised because the tragedy among many people drinking, the tragedy of many people, I believe, Phillips, is that if it hasn't hurt them, if it hasn't hurt anybody they know, then they're going to be okay. Well, I don't want to live my life in hopes that it won't come around my neighborhood, it won't come into my household, it won't come into my family, when I do have some known kind of protection to protect me from something that I just don't know how my body would react to it if I do get it. And that's the tragedy of it. Why wait until you get it and say, oh, man, I wish I had got it? Why wait until you get sick to say, oh, I wish I had got this, when you can protect yourself, right, protect your children, and protect your family from all the variants that are out there now that's causing much damage that's not being reported in the news because it's not news anymore.
Right.
And so we want to protect ourselves from that.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Barry, and all the hard work that you're doing to make sure that we get the word out. Vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. And I really appreciate you. And thank God for your church. And tell folks where they can find you on Sunday morning, Reverend. If you want to hear, you don't want to leave,
Christian Fellowship,
leave this service out here. Yes.
Christian Fellowship Baptist Church, Facebook Live at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning or 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday night. That's Christian Fellowship Baptist Church, Facebook Live. And we'll be there preaching the gospel and teaching the word of God. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank
you, Phillips. I know you have other guests. So thank you for this privilege, and you all have a blessed day.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. All right, that's Pastor C. Vincent Berry, Senior Pastor of the Christian Fellowship Church here in the city of Cleveland. Catch him Facebook Live at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning and on 7 o'clock on Wednesday. I am joined now by one of my dearest, closest friends in the city of Cleveland, my dear, dear brother, Councilman Award 1, the highest voting ward on the east side of Cleveland, Councilman Joe Jones. Are you there, Councilman Jones?
I certainly am, Pastor Reverend Aaron Phillips. I'm here. I'm excited about you having me on your program.
Oh, man, it wouldn't be if we could. We can't go 6 weeks without hearing from you. You are a resident go-to guy. You've been coming on for a long time, and I thank God for you. And I've got this great flyer with a very good, handsome dude on this flyer named Councilman Joe Jones. It says the Joe Jones Restaurant Revitalization Fund, free federal grant applications available and for businesses. So kind of tell us about this great program that you're providing not only in Ward 1, but for the entire city and county.
Yeah, this program is actually, I'm helping to push it and promote it. It's actually not physically created by me, but I thought it was really important that our African-American businesses, which have forever and a day, have not taken advantage of federal government programs. This is a part of the recently passed $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan Act that Congress provided a fund of $28.6 billion to assist restaurants and other businesses as it relates to the economic impact of COVID-19. And here's how it really works in the businesses that can really take advantage of this, is restaurants, food stands, food trucks, food cars, catering businesses, salons, inns, taverns, bars, lounge, brew pubs, tasting rooms, tap licensed facilities, and any of those who serve the public as it relates to alcohol beverages. Those black businesses that have been impacted, say in 2019, say they had a revenue stream of $1 million. And so in 2020, when the COVID impact failed, they lost half their profits. Say they lost $500,000. And in that year, 2020, during the COVID, they had to invest to try to get up to a place where they could, you know, you see some of the restaurants happen to put plastic tents and systems in place in order to kind of like quarantine their guests. Whatever cost that they incur, and it could be even cost to improve the restaurant or rebuild the restaurant or buy new furniture or buy new kitchenware, whatever it is, whatever those costs are. So say you spent $200,000 to $300,000 and you lost $500,000. Well, when you combine your expenses and your loss together, you're looking at right there, Pastor, $800,000. So now the federal government, through this program, will give you an $800,000 grant. We're not talking about a loan.
What?
We're talking about a grant. So you don't have to pay this back. All you have to do is show your loss for the year 2020, and your revenues and it has to show that and reflect that, and then show your investments, and you put both together and it equals that grant, and you can participate in getting $28.6 billion. We have two businesses in our neighborhood that are African American in our neighborhood that's African American businesses. And they're standing, one of them stands to get a grant for about $60,000 he knew nothing about. And that's just me knocking on his door saying, hey, we got this here. Would you like to take advantage of? And here's the sweet part about it. There's a firm that is doing all of this for free, a white firm that's doing it completely for free. They get all of the information. They ask the owners for all the information they need. They fill the application out. They send the information in, and then the owner or the business owner will get the check in the mail. They don't have to do anything.
Well, wait a minute. Slow down there, Councilman.
It's completely free.
Oh, now, Councilman, now let's go over that one part, too, because there's an application process, right, to get these funds. And
right.
You're telling me
that's right.
that business owner doesn't have to stop taking care of their business and fill out this application, that you have somebody in place to help them fill out the paperwork to get the free money?
That's right.
Is that what you're telling us?
That's
oh, my God. That's what leadership is, y'all. Now, that's great leadership. So all you got to do is just tell them how to contact you to get more information about this.
If they're interested in being able to recover their loss and whatever investments they made during this virus, all they have to do is give me a call. I'm Councilman Joe Jones. I can be reached at 216-355-0017. That's 216-355-0017. That's my cell. And
Councilman, that's your real number. That's the number I call you on, Councilman. That's your real number.
That's my. Yes, and Pastor, you won't find no other elected official that will give you his personal cell phone and put it out there. So if the restaurant businesses and owners and bars really want to take advantage of this, I double dare you to call. You can call me at 216-355-0017, Councilman Joe Jones. Councilman Joe Jones working hard for you.
Now, Councilman, is this just for Ward 1 businesses or is this for businesses all over the city?
This is for black businesses and businesses in general all over the place.
Wow.
They got it extended
wow.
for the blacks to start taking advantage of it first. So all the black people got to do is just get up and just do it. They don't have to do nothing. Somebody can come and fill it all out, get all the information from them, and then that money will come into their personal bank account.
Councilman, that's some fantastic leadership.
Completely free.
That's some fantastic leadership. So whether you live in, what if my business is outside of the city of Cleveland? Okay, maybe I'm not in Ward 1, but maybe I'm in Ward 5.
It doesn't matter. You could be in any city across the continental United States of America. Again, this is a $28.6 billion, and I got to say this, $28.6 billion that the Joe Biden administration passed. So now we get an opportunity, if you're a business owner and you happen to be black and you happen to have a restaurant or a food stand or food truck or food cart or catering or salon inn or tavern or bar or lounge or a brew pub, a tasting room, a tap room, a licensed facility or premises that serve alcohol beverages, you get an opportunity to take advantage of this. And most of the businesses that we have right now, Pastor, are in those areas. And so we need to take advantage of that. We need to be able to get those grants and empower ourselves. And you don't have to actually be in Ward 1. I just catered it because I'm over here in Ward 1, and I want to make sure that our businesses are economically strong. We need to have what I would like to see is sit down African American businesses and restaurants. We don't have those kind of facilities in our neighborhood, and we need the kind of investments that are good businesses that we do have. We need them to stay stable, and we need to redevelop the east side of the city of Cleveland.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And you've been talking about that ever since I've known you. Even when you ran for council 4 years ago, you've been talking about developing not only Ward 1, but then built our entire city, particularly on the east side. Fantastic work,
The east side passed, as you began to get who you're selecting as, and even your listeners who are looking at the next mayor of the city of Cleveland, the east side of the city of Cleveland has got the raw end of the deal. We have not prospered like the west side. In fact, some parts of the west side, they don't even look like Cleveland anymore. It's like you're in a whole nother world, a whole nother city. I mean, they have on West 25th Street money coming up out the sewer. We need to have those kinds of investments in our community. We need to have the same kind of investments that Little Italy is getting. We need to have the same kind of investments in infrastructure development and building of new homes and properties and development like University Circle. That's what we're talking about. So as a people and as a community, we're not saying we want you to give it to us. We're just saying be fair and spread the wealth. If everybody, Pastor, gets a little bit, everybody has a whole lot.
That's right. Now, Councilman, this so happens that you're up for reelection again. That was just hard to believe. It was just 4 years ago. When you ran for your seat again, and you're running again this year, is that right?
That's
for
correct.
For a second term? All right, and we're looking forward to that. I want the world to know, Pastor Aaron Phillips absolutely, positively, completely endorses Joe Jones for Councilman Ward 1. He is my main man. He's been doing a fantastic job in Ward 1, and we want to send him back to City Council this time and for the next 4 years, another 4 years. And, now there's an opening for council president. I'd like to see you become the council, not only win again, but become our first council president, Councilman Joe Jones. You may call you President Joe Jones. I think that would be a fantastic thing for the city of Cleveland. Tell us some of the things that you accomplished in these past 4 years. I know we only have about 12 minutes left, but give us the top three things that you accomplished as a councilman. I know you've done so many, but we don't have enough time to talk about them all. But give us the top
three top things I think are important. We've been able to get over 70 security lights throughout our neighborhood. We got an infrastructure investment of $42 million for new street lighting throughout our neighborhood, in addition to security cameras throughout our area to help us one level of protection for our people. The second thing I think is important that I'm proud of, we've been able to bring in $16 million to put in play a state-of-the-art recreational facility next to John F. Kennedy School. Those two things combined with being able to bring in a new business or to add and extend out a business that's already in our neighborhood, Trumpco, who made an investment of $36 million to bring in a part of its facility and company and create new jobs for residents who live in the neighborhood. And we're talking about high-paying jobs. And so with that investment, we also have the $42 million development of the new John F. Kennedy. And we've been able to do Miles Avenue, which is another $9 million invested in infrastructure in our community. So combined, we have over $40 million in new infrastructure. And in terms of facilities, another $60 to $90 million in new development in that respect. And if it's the will of the living God, he allows me an opportunity to serve another 4 years representing the citizens of Ward 1. I want to start with new development in terms of housing and continue infrastructure improvements, as well as bringing in new businesses, retail, and if it's God's will, new restaurants. Those are the things I want to do. I want to develop my neighborhood like all the other neighborhoods around me are developing out. We need to have that same kind of investment, and I'll be fighting for that. If given that opportunity, and an honor and a privilege to serve the citizens of the Lee Harvard Ward 1 area.
Yes. Can you address, and we just had Council President, Mayoral Candidate, Kevin Kelly was just on before you, and Todd called, which Todd always has great questions. And but he mentioned, I think Todd knew this young fella, as I did, who was murdered mistakenly, but still yet murdered on 116th Street, right in the middle of broad daylight, right up the street from my church, our church at Sure House. And can you address what can we do, and you as councilman, to address the violence that's happening all in our community? We know Mount Pleasant, Ward 2, Ward 1 are very hot spot violent areas, and I know that's something that's dear to your heart. You know, it's dear to mine. Let the people know what you intend to do in these next 4 years to help address the violence that's happening across our community.
I think you got a couple of things that are happening, right? The violence in the neighborhood is just a multifaceted look at this whole situation. You have to be able to create jobs, and you have to put in place disruptor systems in the community. These are people who know where the activities are, who's doing what, who's committing the crimes. And if you really look at it, it's only a handful of folks that's causing a whole lot of damage. And so you have to try to figure out who and where they are. And by doing that, you need to create I call them disruptor programs. And when you put those disruptor programs in place, you begin to attack the situation in that direction. The other direction that you need to attack it in is in your basic fundamentals in terms of your police force. In the city of Cleveland, we've been through so much with the consent decree. There is this thing called the blue flu. Now, not all police officers fit this category, but some of them don't want to work. Some of them have been told not to work. And those are the problems that we're having in our neighborhood when you look around. We have about 1,600 police officers on the force. We need to make a priority to getting more of our people, our men and our women, down on the ground. We need higher visibility. With this money coming in from the federal government, we need to put at least another 300 police officers down on the ground. If we don't do it, if we don't lift our presence up, people will go ahead and commit a crime because they don't see the police. They're not driving around. They're not doing patrolling our communities in a way in which we need to have it being patrolled. And the other part of it is that there's so many calls coming in that the ones who are working are overburdened and overwhelmed. So we have to work really diligently, efficiently, and effectively as a city and as the mayor to get our police department back on track. Our police department is truly not in a good shape right now, and that's one of the reasons. So you have two reasons here. You have the issues with the people, jobs, disruptors, systems put in place, and you're going to have to restructure and reform the police department. It is not in a good place health-wise in terms of being an establishment that can really protect and serve the citizens of Cleveland. And you won't
have any
callers come out. You won't have most elected officials come out and tell you the doggone truth, straightforward, straight shooting like that.
Yeah, we appreciate that. I know one question that Brenda Bickerstaff would like me to ask, and I want to ask the two of you directly. Would you support a citizen review, independent citizen review board that would bring oversight to the and accountability from to the police department, and when these police officers have the quote unquote blue flu, that they could be held accountable for that and other police misconduct?
I think the issue is what we're really missing. The real point is now that is we have to put our own systems of accountability in place. But I believe the Federal Bureau of Investigation should be in charge of investigating our police departments. I mean, the systems that we have in place are so has such a historical perspective on things that it really takes the investigation of the federal government. They should be responsible for this. And this is a serious situation. You know, what we're experiencing in this country right now has come and has raised up to an epic proportion of young African-American unarmed black men that are just almost as if they're getting gunned down and shot and killed on a weekly basis. Every other week, you got an incident that's happening somewhere in some American city. So this is truly a problem of police training, a problem of diversity in those departments. And this is one of the things that we have in the city of Cleveland. You have 80% of the police department is a white police department. I have nothing wrong with the police department being 80% white to some degree, but the issue is that there needs to be more African Americans in that department. If you want to change the culture, you truly should have a department that looks like the citizens and reflect the citizens. And right now you don't have that in Cleveland. So there is this thing where, you know, that is a problem. And so we have failed over the years as a city to correct that. You can't go decade in and decade out, and you mean to tell me that you only have 20% of your workforce is minority or less? You go to the fire department and you have 16% of your workforce minority, and then you go to EMS and maybe you have 20% of your workforce minority. Come on, what are we doing here? If you want to have equity and break – if you want to have equity and you want people to have an opportunity to get gainful, meaningful employment, then you should be working very feverishly to make that happen. And it takes a decade in, a decade out of an operation being able to do that. And it just seems like we always, as a community, where there's economic development, where there's good, strong-paying jobs, where there's the ability and capacity to get loans from redlining, we always seem to get the small stick at the end of the day. We don't never seem to get the kind of justice we need as a people. And so getting that year in and year out has had a very profound impact. And it's one of the reasons why you have such a high crime in the younger generations today. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing the violence all across the country. Frustration.
Right. We got to get ready to close. Councilman Joe Jones, tell folks how they can look you up on your website and give support. Maybe some folks want to volunteer or send you a campaign donation. How do they do that?
Well, they can simply, it's real easy, 216-355-0017. They can give me a call. We will be working on putting our web pages and stuff like that up. But in the meantime, in the past, we've always self-financed. But we're certainly open to any contributions, and we're appreciative. Just give me a call, and I really appreciate any support I get from anywhere.
Well, you have my full support and my as well as the donation coming. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Being on our broadcast today. God bless you. Doing an excellent job. Support Joe Jones, Councilman Ward 1, and get in touch with him when we get some resources to help your business. Thank you for tuning in today, for listening to this our broadcast. Thank you to President Kevin Kelly and all the callers who called in, asking them great questions. Thank you for that. And thank you to our Councilman Joe Jones and to Pastor Barry and all those who called in and those who called in who couldn't get through. We thank you, appreciate you. We'll be right back here next Monday fighting this good fight. 5 o'clock, 5 to 5, 5 to 6:30. God bless you, Cleveland. We love you and have a great week.
The proceeding was a paid program brought to you by Cleveland Clergy Coalition. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station or its management. 1490 WERE Cleveland Heights, WZAK HD3 Cleveland, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled and operated, and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
Marie, is that you?
Oh, hi, Barb. How you doing?
Better now. Did you know we had a little health scare with Jeff?
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, he had been short of breath and was really tired a lot of the time. He just thought he was getting old and was out of shape, but it turns out it was heart valve disease.
How did you figure it out?
He finally went to the doctor, and she was able to listen to his heart and detected the problem. I didn't realize it, but heart valve disease is more common.